97.1, happy Friday. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Govan Greg behind the glass. You got Dustin Fioco on the updates. John, you saw something about restaurants and a change that may be happening in restaurants. We'll get to that later this hour. In addition to Chaz Lanier, the pick for the Pistons. But today is day one of the NHL draft. Mm-hmm. And we are not going to break down Swedish prospects and Canadian juniors for you. We are going to stress that 13th pick that the Red Wings have needs to be put to better use. And this idea of starting to make bold decisions for Steve Yzerman, something Wojo wrote about in the Detroit News. And we've got some excerpts from it. But this is the conversation with the hockey team. It's about doing something impactful, your word, John. Mm-hmm. Starting as soon as today, we haven't seen any buyouts, we haven't seen any trades. That 13th pick is a player who's not going to be contributing for minimum 3 years and probably 4 or 5. So what are we talking about here? Wojo writes, Steve Yzerman has drafted extremely well, especially in the first round. His greatest strength. And they have a solid batch of young talent. Now he needs to show more of his untapped forte. Shrewd, aggressive maneuvering. The Wings have had a 25-year playoff streak, and now it's a 9-year playoff drought. There's ample motivation and the resources to accelerate the process. Now would be a fine time for Yzerman's ruthless competitiveness to kick in with a shake-it-up mentality, as he sounds willing to do. And cited some quotes from the end-of-season press conference. Yep. Where, yeah, they will give up young players to get better. Let's see it then, Steve. And the question for Red Wing fans is, what do they need to see to buy back into this?
Well, what is it that Steve Yzerman can even do to make you believe that, okay, the Yzer plan, it's taken a long time. Now they're ready to make some moves, whether it's the arsenal of picks that they've been able to put together and he has drafted well. Those guys are still developing. You've got, an arsenal there that you could market to different teams. And, like the free agency. Are they going to go out and get a Marner? Are they going to go out and get, some of these guys that may be available, may not be available? That doesn't happen until, Tuesday is when the free agency starts. There's a lot of moves that can be made before then, and are you going to put all your eggs in one basket, and that's free agency?
And if you do, then I better not hear, term was a problem, or the prices went up dramatically with the cap increase. There is no woe is Yzerman this time next week. Well, you see, you don't understand. There's no excuses at this point. This is your roster. Everybody is here because you wanted them to be. You extended them. You drafted them. You've built this roster that's not good enough. And you're at a critical fork in the road moment. Are we just going to lean on another year of development, kick the can down the road, and hope all these players pan out? Or are you willing to do your job as the general manager to ice a better product and take the next step as an organization? I mean, Wojo writes, bluntly, it's time to be bold again. So what does bold look like to you as a Red Wing fan? 248-539-9797. To me, it would start with not using the 13th pick tonight. Not using that pick. There's a list of players out there who are available via trade. We mentioned Noah Dobson.
Yep.
Rasmus Anderson with Calgary is available. There are players out there that you can make a trade to go get. You had a list in front of you in the Detroit News of players that the Wings could go out. We're not putting this on Yzerman to go get one player. It's go out and add a player. It doesn't have to be the guy that we name on the radio today. It's not that. It's use your shrewd hockey sense and go out and add a player who can impact this team. I think a lot of the names we're talking about are blue liners, defensemen. But don't use the 13th pick on a guy who's years away. Use the 13th pick to grease the skids and pull off a trade. Dare I say a heist. He used to do that, win the trade, but go out and make a trade.
Well, and if you're able to get a restricted free agent, somebody like a Noah Dobson who is young, then you don't have to worry about the term as much as, okay, what is it going to take to trade. But then also, hey, along with that trade comes a new contract. What do those numbers look like for Dobson? We talked about it, it was yesterday or the day before.
This week.
I know that he was asking before the season, $11.5 million. Well, he missed a large part of last year due to injury. How much does that lower the price tag? How much is he willing? Or, as you brought up, I thought was a great point, hey, if he's going to stay in New York, this is the amount of money I'm willing to sign for. unless you trade me, and then maybe I'll take 10 or 10 and a half from another team. I just don't want to stay here on a team that is at the beginning stages of and maybe entering a rebuild.
Right, and he's 25 years old, 100 block shots, 4-plus seasons. He played in New York where that team told you you had to sell out the block shots. He's not a soft player, but he's also a guy with a 70-point season under his belt. And it was not last year but the year before. He's the type of player that fits the timeline. Eiserman has said, I'll trade picks for getting those guys. Noah Dobson. Look, you do a character check, he's not the right player. Move on to somebody else. There's other players available. The name I brought up just a second ago was Rasmus Anderson. He's at Calgary. They're going nowhere. He's 28 years old, still in his 20s. They're not winning anything. He can come in. He's a big-time offensive piece on the blue line. So he gives you a little bit of a best of both worlds. There are names out there. We mentioned Jason Robertson, and I know the Northville connection. It doesn't have to be local guys, but I think it does help when you're trying to secure not only a trade but an extension with the trade. The Wings have the cap space. They have the urgency. They have the prospects. They have the 13th pick. Today, this weekend, by Tuesday, let's see something here.
Well, you start to lose options the further down this timeline you go. So if you're going to make a trade, you have that 13th pick. You have more, you know, of an arsenal right now to make a trade before the draft begins. You make that pick, and now all of a sudden you're waiting until free agency starts. You pin yourself into having to maybe overspend for a free agent, and if Steve Eiserman is not willing to give term, he's not willing to give money, then you've backed yourself into a corner, and if you're not able to, you know, to sign any of those guys, 5 days goes by, and you have nothing to show for it other than the 13th overall pick, and yes, they'll be here in 2030.
So tell us, a player, a position, a trade, a free agent signing, what do you need to see from Steve Eiserman? The call to be bold from Wojo today. It's going to be 90 degrees today in Detroit. Mm-hmm. Let's put some heat on Eiserman. 248-539-9797. Because nobody should get carte blanche forever. Nobody's allowed to rebuild in perpetuity until the end of time. You have to show results.
And if you look in the background, the resume of Steve Eiserman, free agent signings, especially here in Detroit, have not been his forte. Trades, honestly, have not been his forte. Do you think it's more likely that before the draft begins tonight, there's a trade, or do you think he gets to Tuesday and signs a free agent?
I don't think he's going to trade the pick. I think he's going to take some Victor Eklund out of Sweden tonight. I really don't. I don't think we're going to get some big, brash, bold move this offseason from Eiserman. I don't. I will be pleasantly surprised if they do something. But, John, I think we're in for another bury your head. And
all right, so if that doesn't happen, and I understand maybe the 13th pick's not a huge tool in the tool chest right now.
I would argue it is, but let's say they don't.
Well, no, but let's say they don't. Let's say they make the pick. Is there still opportunity to make a trade if those trades aren't consummated by other teams before free agency opens?
Yeah, I mean, you could trade the player you take at 13. You could trade the player you took last year or the year before. I mean, these are guys who are lottery tickets. And I get not wanting to trade Marco Kasper. Like, please understand, guys, I'm not suggesting Steve Eiserman do something just for the sake of doing it. Or trading players who are already here at the NHL level who are contributing. You're keeping Seider and Raymond and Kasper and Edvinson. But the guys who are years away, the guy they drafted last year, Brancic Nygaard, I wouldn't have a hesitancy of putting him in a trade if it meant I was getting an NHL player who fit the timeline and was going to make them a competitive hockey team.
Yeah, and that's the question that Steve Eiserman is going to have to answer to his, you know, to his boss, to his team, is how do I make this team better under the parameters that he set for this team? And in those parameters, is it even possible?
Right.
If he's not willing to give out term, if he's not willing to pay market value, or because market value is whatever another team or you are willing to spend. And you may say, hey, well, that's too much. Well, if somebody else is willing to pay it, then you don't get that player.
So a player we brought up in the past, in my, like, outline for the offseason, I like Aaron Ekblad.
Right.
Physical, gritty leader, right? If you have any questions of Larkin as a leader, bring in a guy who wore the letter in Florida, two-time cup champion, plays with an edge, can quarterback a power play, whether that's the first or second unit, it makes you deeper, a better hockey team. He's on the right side, so now you have Seider on one pair and Ekblad on the other. You're a deeper hockey team. He's not going to be cheap. If he's going to leave a two-time Stanley Cup champion, the team that drafted him, he's not taking a discount because he grew up in Windsor. So if he signs for $9 million a year, I think many would say that's an overpay right now. Well, do you want him or not? You got $20 million in cap space, and it'd be more if you didn't have Tarasenko or Peter Mrazek. You could quickly dump their bodies for future considerations and get up to nearly $30 million in cap space. Buy out Justin Hall. Do something creative to add one of these guys. There are no excuses for Steve Yzerman. All the tools are at his disposal. This is the time for the organization to move forward.
Does Marner end up back in Toronto?
No, no chance. None of the reporting says it. I mean, I would be floored if he ended up back in Toronto.
And but here's the risk you run. If you don't make a trade, you're putting yourself in a corner that you're going to have to give term. You're going to have to give money. And you may actually have to overpay for somebody to come to Detroit.
Like Ekblad, you go, well, he had a suspension last year, and he gets injured because he plays physical. I don't want to give him a seven-year deal.
Well,
okay,
if you don't make a trade, then but you got to do something.
Cool. Then our blue line next year has Jeff Petrie on the second pair.
Yeah, guys, you do something. You have to just do something at this time, for better or worse, right?
I'm with you. I think you have to make a move.
If you sign Ekblad, make him your number one defenseman. Send a message in the locker room. Maybe the message shouldn't be directly related to Mo Sider, but do it anyways.
I don't even think it matters. You're going to play both those guys 20-plus minutes a night.
Oh, I know, but no. Things have to be shaken up, too. The status quo isn't working.
Look, you can bring Ekblad in and immediately put the A on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Maybe
248-539. Yeah, well, I was waiting for you to say that. Let's get to Paul in Clinton Township. Paul, what's up? Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking the call. Hey, listen, as I told the call screener, don't mistake my comments as not feeling Yzerman needs to do better. And I definitely agree. I'd love a shakeup. I want to see some stuff. I just wanted to push back on a couple of narratives. The first one, he gave 8 years to Sider and Raymond. He gave 5 to Compher and Kopp. Whether we think those were good signings or not, the bottom line was he gave 5 years at some pretty good money to those guys. So I think this narrative that he won't give some term to a free agent, I think is false.
We've heard it the last two off seasons from the man's mouth himself. Boy, I didn't feel comfortable with term last year. He specifically, explicitly said that.
Correct, on the specific players, okay? You've got to be able to – we're acting like he turned down opportunities to sign great players that were going to help us for the future to term. I mean, there's a difference, and we also got to understand –
So you have faith he's going to do it. So you, based on that, you have faith he's going to do that.
I don't have faith he's – well, put it this way. I have faith he's going to try, but I also I don't think he is going to simply – just do anything just to make a move to placate the fan base. I don't believe that. I also
what I'm contending, and I'll let you get to the other narrative. I'm contending he doesn't have to placate us. There's more than enough quality good players out there that he needs to find a way to get those deals done, even if he can't, quote, win the trade. Right? It's like the guy in your fantasy league that has to add extra stuff to always win the trade. Steve, you have to make the trade. It doesn't do me any good if he tried. You don't get. There's no participation ribbon in the National Hockey League, especially not 7 years in as the general manager. What's the other narrative?
I don't disagree at all, and I pray to God he does that for two reasons: for the health of the team, and frankly to quiet some of that stuff. The other narrative is that if we draft a guy, we're not going to see him till after 2030. I mean, name a first-round draft pick under Steve Yzerman that's taken 5 years to get to the NHL. I mean, you can't. I mean, his guys
It's different, but your goalie, Sebastian Cosa? I know goalies take longer.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, come on, you know that.
I know. I'm nitpicking. Go ahead.
To bring up. But that's it. Look at the other.
No, but I also said impact. I also said impact. No, my point was impact. They could be here in 3 years, and Wojo says 3 years in his column. I'm talking impact. I'm talking like they are a top six guy or they are a top four guy on your blue line.
Okay, that's different than what I heard on the radio. I heard we won't see them till after 2030, and that's what I heard. So that's what I responded to. And I'm
that's
fine
fair.
With what you said. I get that.
Okay. Because that's just the frustration is we hear about guys in the pipeline, and by the time they get here – and settle in, we will be pushing 2030. And a player they draft this year is not going to be a guy that is making an impact on the ice
for three, four
at
years.
Least 3 years. Yeah, and it could be four or more. 248-539-9797. The question is for you, the Red Wing fan. Those that are still passionate about this team, that have waited patiently through a long and painful rebuild, the time to be bold is now. What does bold look like to you? It's 97-1. Tell you about Moran Chevrolet. We're talking about for Steve Yzerman being in a position where you got to hit the road and do something. Well, if you're trying to hit the road in style, head up north, do what you got to do. Michigan's number one selling Chevy dealer in 2024 was Moran Chevrolet. Time to go electric. You can hit the road and skip the pump with the 2025 Blazer EV. Lease it for $199 a month, zero down, 24-month low-mileage lease. Only at Moran Chevrolet, where you always get the best price, period. Find your ride fast, moranexpress.com. Stop in. They're on Gratiot, north of 15 Mile in Clinton Township. Chevrolet, together, let's drive. Hey, fire up Chips. Zach McKinstry, another triple, driving in some runs. Dietrich Enns, Chippewa on the mound, and the Tigers win 8-0 against the A's. We'll talk a little Tigers near the end of the hour here. And a report that came out yesterday, we thought, don't bat an eye.
Yeah,
makes sense.
Sounds good.
Not the case. Plenty in the fan base rejecting this idea. We'll get to it. I want to know why. I want to investigate it. On the hockey front.
Mm-hmm.
We brought up Wojo's column in the Detroit News, calling for bold action from Steve Yzerman. What does bold look like to you? Because it's clear we're all on the same page. This is not good enough to keep stalling out just outside the playoffs. It's not enough to just take someone tonight at 13, cross your fingers, and hope by 2030 they're contributing at a high level on the ice. You got to do something bold. And it could be a trade, trading that 13th pick. It could be a trade. You got a player or a position in mind. It could be a free agent. That starts on Tuesday. So what does bold look like to you? 248-539-9797.
And I really think that it needs to be something that's done by the draft tonight. It needs to be a move where you go ahead and trade that 13th pick. You trade some of the draft picks that you have taken over the last few years. We know that he can draft. The question is there a sense of urgency to win, to get to the playoffs, to start building a team that, yeah, they can get to the playoffs this year, and then maybe one of those draft picks does develop the year after that, and they're a piece that gets you a little bit further in the playoffs. But you got to be able to put a winner out there and not just get to March and hope that, well, let's just see what happens. And March, as we know, over the last 3 years, has where this team has just taken a nosedive.
The vocabulary used by Wojo. We need more shrewd, aggressive maneuvering. That's the guy I thought we hired on 4/19/19. The shrewd, aggressive maneuvering. And I didn't expect it immediately in the first couple seasons while they bottomed out, but I certainly expect it going into his seventh year.
Yeah, and opportunity for this year. There are a number of players that are being shopped around. So it doesn't have to be
one guy.
It doesn't have to be one guy. But you've got to be on the phone, and you've got to be working the phone lines today so that by the time the draft starts, you've made a move.
Wojo also saying it's a fine time for his ruthless competitiveness to kick in. I read that as he hasn't been ruthlessly competitive. Needs to kick in. We know what he was like on the ice.
Right.
Kick in.
And I'm never going to question his want to or his competitiveness. But it's what are we continuing to posture for?
Right.
What are you positioning for? Another, hey, you missed the playoffs by 4 points, or you tied but you lost the tiebreaker. We've lived through those.
Right.
We've lived through enough. And I know he wasn't here for the first, 3 years of this, now going on 10-year drought. But at some point, you got to do something to pull yourself out of it and do something to improve the team enough to be able to be competitive.
Rapid fire ticket text here. Can we get a goalie?
What are you going to do with the ones you have?
Well, I don't know why we traded for Mrazek last year on a bad deal, but yes, they do need a goalie. It's not going to cover up all the other issues, but fine. Okay, that's what it looks like to you. They do need a goalie. Texter says, at bare minimum, they need two impact players. A top winger and a top four defenseman, assuming they bring back Kane as well. One player is not enough. Need multiple guys. Buyout Hull and Tarasenko, Steve in Macomb. Get rid of Petrie. Texter says, Ekblad, guy's past his prime. Didn't look good after his PED suspension. I would argue he looked very good in the Stanley Cup playoffs. We may have been watching different hockey. More ticket text, 248-539-9797. Don't forget, people have to want to come to Detroit. We aren't a preferred destination. The only players Eisenman overpays are old veterans, which has been a disaster. Texter says, I heard a trade offer floated, speculated. Noah Dobson. Wings would give up Confer, Berggren, Danielson, and this year's first, Tony and Oxford. I'd say signed, sealed, delivered. Let's get it done.
Yeah.
My biggest problem for Steve is this team has zero identity. Every other team has a very clear, loud identity of who they are. He can go out and acquire a big name. It's not going to win them a cup unless they figure out who they are. And then this one says he needs to stop acting so omnipotent or nothing will change. This one says he's incompetent.
Well there done.
Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, Detroit's future as a PGA Tour site beyond 2026 is currently uncertain. The Rocket Classic is under contract through 2026 with an option for 2027, but Rocket companies have yet to basically announce whether they'll exercise that option for 2027 or not. And it sounds like there's a lot of factors that are going into this decision. The PGA Tour's schedule is one of them. The cost of, you know, hosting the event is another. And then they also say the impact of the LIV golf circuit on the broader golf landscape is to consider. But it does sound like the Detroit Golf Club, they're all for continuing it. And the PGA Tour CEO seems to be open to it as well. So
yeah, we want the event to be here. We want it to be good. We want it to make sense.
Yes, exactly. The body of a man was found in the Detroit River Wednesday night. The man's body was recovered right around 7:55 p.m. by a Detroit fireboat rescue crew. No other details were released, so don't ask me any other questions, John.
Okay.
I don't have the answers.
Message received. Sip
yes.
it.
Yep. Former Baltimore Ravens kicker Justin Tucker has been suspended for the first 10 weeks of the 2025 regular season after a league investigation into misconduct allegations. So he was released by the Ravens in May. He was accused by 16 massage therapists of acting inappropriately during sessions ranging from 2012 to 2016. On Thursday, the league announced this hefty suspension, noting that he can serve the suspension as a free agent and is free to sign with the team. If he does sign, he could attend training camp and play in preseason games.
I was going to ask. I didn't believe he was even on a team at this
right.
point. His suspension
yeah.
might be the whole year because no one signs him.
Exactly.
Yeah. He's coming off a bad year, too, on top of all the you know, what
the
he did here.
Yeah.
Maybe he ends up in Cleveland. It's possible.
Sure.
He would be eligible for reinstatement on November 11th. Tampa Bay Rays shortstop Wander Franco was found guilty of sexual abuse of a minor in the Dominican Republic. So the story is that this was when he was 21 years old. He was in a sexual relationship with a 14-year-old child. Somehow, though, he did dodge jail time, not going to jail. He was sentenced to a 2-year suspended prison sentence, and the judge did make it clear that he will go to jail if he does engage in any other sexual contact
yeah.
with a minor.
Yeah, and so it sounded like the message was, well, just wait till they're 18?
Yes, that's basically what the judge says. Like, if you don't like people your own age, just wait till they're a little bit older.
The word wait, I don't like. Shouldn't be like preying on 17-year-olds and waiting till they're 18. A better thing would just say, be with people 18 and up.
Yeah. I think the quote from the judge was, you have to wait your time. Yeah, I don't
yeah,
like that.
Okay, yeah.
Now, the mother of the victim was convicted of sex trafficking and was sentenced to 10 years in prison. So
10 in prison?
Yes.
And he got 2 suspended.
Yes, so he's not actually
in prison at all.
Exactly. Okay. Hey, Cedar Point's newest roller coaster is opening this weekend. It's opening on Saturday. Go check it out if you want. There were some lucky, I guess you could call them fans, roller coaster fans that were able to try it out early. Siren's Curse is being called North America's tallest, fastest, and longest tilt roller coaster. It looks pretty cool. Minimum height requirement of 4 feet tall. There is a max height, though, John.
I know. I saw this.
I think it's – I don't
– what is it?
I saw it in inches.
Right, yeah. So
I
it was
– 80 inches?
80
what is
inches,
that in
right.
feet?
So that's 6'8".
You're
and
good.
So
oh.
I'm 6'7". So, yes, I do fit the parameters, but that to me is – a little too close for comfort. I love roller coasters, but I'm probably not
now
going to.
Have you looked at other height height requirements on other roller coasters? Because it seems like there has to be, because this is actually a shorter minimum height than some of the other ones, 4 feet tall. Some of them you have to be a little bit taller. Like, there's got to be another roller coaster with that same height limit.
I usually look at some of the disclaimers, and I don't know that I've seen a max height before. Not saying that there's not, but yeah, that one, because is that just, are they taking your wingspan into, because I like, you know, arm, hands up, you know, the whole roller coaster, you know, wee.
Yeah, of course.
So they're using like an average person's wingspan if they were 6'8". John, if you have longer arms, I don't know what your combine data says.
Yeah,
but
then you might, maybe that's where you lose your digit.
Oh.
Or a whole hand.
Yeah, or.
After yes. arm.
So you're not going to ride this.
No, okay. No, I'm not going to be riding that one.
Or maybe getting a haircut.
Yep.
Could, yeah. You could. Yep, get a trim.
It's Heather with the news. All right. 9 o'clock. Tiger fans don't want to make this move. Why are so many people against it? Coming up next, John, this is a potential change in restaurants.
Yes.
At least at one place.
We'll see what the listeners have to say about this, if they've experienced this as well, but we'll get to that next.
It's next, 97.1.
Awesome. There's a blender.
I think I would be down with this type of place for a ski trip. Like, because it's, I don't want to, like, you don't need, like, I don't think of skiing as, like.
All right, guys, we are live hanging out Shanty Creek on a Friday. And, John, you have.
You interrupted me mid-bacon.
Yeah. Which I know is a big sin.
There's no sin involved.
Stopping you from eating bacon?
Oh, yes, yes. That's the sin. Yes, you committed. Yes.
Oh, I'm not saying you can't eat your bacon,
Oh, yes.
Your
I
bacon,
thought you were
John.
Talking about my bacon consumption.
Oh, I know not to mess with you and your bacon.
No.
We are going to talk a little bit about our baseball team at 9 o'clock. There's a move that Tiger fans don't want to make. I'm confused. We'll investigate. Let's investigate what's going on in a restaurant here, John.
Yeah, so I saw this news article, and it was something very similar to what I experienced a couple of weeks ago when I was out to dinner with my wife. And so there was this article that talked about a living wage fee. When you go to restaurants, and we've all seen it before, right? On the bottom of the menu, if the party's a six or more, we're going to add an 18% gratuity. No problem with that. You know that going in. There's that now this thing called a living wage fee, where restaurants are trying to make up the difference of not paying their servers or their employees more. They want the customers to foot the bill. And I mean, I understand it. I would think you would just increase the prices so that then you would be able to pay your employees. And I get the servers are not making minimum wage because of tips and all that. And I don't want to make this anything about bills that may or may not be passed. But the living wage fee, which can be seen on some receipts, is 18%. And so on top of your bill, you're going to – on the line item is 18% living wage fee, and then they also leave a space for tip.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, do you think some people just say, okay, well, that's my tip then?
100%.
And fill zero out for the
yes.
tip line.
As long as they post it, whether you walk in and you say, hey, on your bill is going to be this living wage fee, it's 18%, or it's on the menu, it's posted somewhere so you know it's going to be a part of your bill, I don't really have an issue with that because they're letting you know, as a business, this is how we're operating.
But it sounds like it's a surprise for people. Like, if it's in little fine print on the menu, that's not the same as making it explicitly known. It's shady to throw in at the end. It's not a tip.
Right.
It's to help our restaurant stay in business. Well, that's what your prices are for. If the bacon, John.
Yes.
Side of bacon costs $6, but it needs to cost $8, then make it $8, and I'll make a decision if I want to buy it or not.
Right. And so the issue that I ran into, and I would like to hear from our listeners if you've experienced this and how you've reacted, because I was out on a date with my wife. We went to a restaurant, and I got the bill. And I'm, you know, going through it, and I'm making sure everything is right. And at the bottom, it says there's a sustainability fee, which was not on the menu, and it was not, you know, it was not.
You didn't order that, John?
I did not order the sustainability fee.
Okay, just checking.
And it was 6%. And so, you know, I'm looking at it, and I asked my wife, I'm like, what is this? Am I missing something? And I kind of got the look of, like, just, you know.
Drop it.
Just drop it. It's 6%. On our bill, it was like, I don't know, $5. And waiter came over and I gave him my credit card, and I kind of felt like I had to ask. It was one of those things that was going to eat at me. I said, hey, what's this sustainability fee? And he used some language that I don't think he understood necessarily. He said, well, it's a double entendre. And I said, well, I don't really think you know what that means. And he said, well, it's...
Do you mean like a catch-22 maybe?
It's sustainability fee for the restaurant to be able to pay their employees basically a sustainable living.
Okay.
And it was also for being able to locally source their products, to be able to get it from local farmers, a local produce, whatever it was, to, you know, decrease their footprint.
Okay. Sure, those are things that a business would want to do.
Right. And but I was just surprised to see the sustainability fee. And so he left, he came back, and how I handled it was, it was 6%, and it just came out of the amount of tip that I was going to leave. I was, and I
which it kind of backfires then for him.
For him,
as
sure.
As a server.
Because he's only going to
get. Because he probably would have gotten more.
So a lot of people will tip 20%.
Yes.
So in this case, you'd do 14% or something, yeah, whatever yeah, you did. Yeah, but yeah, it comes out of his pocket. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so is this a fee that you're willing to pay? If you knew it going in, obviously, if you know it going in, you eat there, you pay it, I don't think you're going to have an issue with it. But when you see it on your bill afterwards, if you didn't know, are you going to have an issue with it?
So my issue with it is it feels like we're just living in the gray area. I would rather, if we're going to do the tip system, do the tip system. Right. And if we're not going to do the tip system because you're going to charge me more on the bill to pay your employees, then I won't tip. But to put me in this gray area where I have to do the calculus in the moment of carry the three, this is how much he's getting from the restaurant, but that's not enough, and I have to make a moral judgment every time I go to the restaurant? I don't like that.
And if I saw an 18%, you know, livability fee, then that's the tip. I'm not actually going to leave anything on top of
Would
that.
Would you leave 2% to get them to 20? Like, these little games we have to play. I don't like that.
I don't want to get into how much you're going to tip because it may or may not be as much as I would normally tip. But if it's already there and then you walk out, and now I feel if that money is going to go directly to the server, okay, I've tipped what I maybe would normally tip.
Yeah.
If it's not going to go to the server, if it's going to the restaurant, and then it's up to them to decide, well, do we want to make this part of our profit and we're going to keep that, or am I going to actually pay the employees more money?
I was just going to ask you that. Like, are you sure that that money is going directly to the person who served you? Because, okay, then I can see that. That could be your tip. I would have tipped a little bit more, so unfortunately, they're not getting a full 20%. They're getting 18. Fine. But you don't know exactly if it is going directly to that person.
Yeah, and I'm not going to ask him, hey, can I see your spreadsheet? Can I, you know,
no.
And I'm not going to even ask, okay, is this going to the server?
But a couple more issues that popped up in my head. What if you're someone who doesn't want to tip that percentage?
Oh, what if you want to tip 15%?
Yeah, now I wouldn't.
10%?
But some people, ooh, like, oh, the service was lousy. I'm not happy. Yeah. I want to make a statement. I want to leave less.
Well, then you just walk out on the bill then.
Well, we know that's what you would do.
Joking.
We work with a klepto, just stealing food at restaurants.
Uh-huh. Dine and dash.
Uh-huh. But they have set your tip for you,
right,
which is annoying. And
yes,
then beyond that, there's just so many things that this opens up.
And I'm curious, are we moving to a point where tip? Because I know not in Heather, you've traveled more internationally than I think the rest of us have. I don't know that tipping is necessarily the culture in other countries.
It's different.
You just simply pay the bill. And so are we heading, you know, in terms of this industry to a point where that's going to be built into the cost of going to eat and you no longer tip your server?
I'd be okay, but we'd have to overhaul the whole system.
Right, yeah. I mean, you can't just tip at one spot and not at another, because how are you going to know when you walk in?
Heather, you said also sometimes you don't know who's getting it. Have you ever seen like those tip jars? Or like if you go, would you like to leave a tip, but it's not like a sit-down restaurant, and you go, well, who am I tipping? Am I tipping this worker who served me, or is this going into the pool?
I used to have a job that was you got tipped for, and we would pool the tips, but sometimes individuals would say, this is for you. You pocket this. Like, I'm giving this to you. I want you to have this money. Don't share it with your coworkers. And that even felt awkward. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Are your coworkers looking at this going, hey, she's putting $20 in her pocket?
Right.
Stealing from us.
Uh-huh.
248-539-9797. Has this happened to you? Have you seen this? And clearly, how would you feel if this became normal?
Yeah. Again, if it is labeled and you go into the restaurant knowing that this is a part of it, I don't have an issue with it. But then the issue is if you get bad service, you have no recourse.
Right. And it does need to be explicit. I hate the idea that I thought I was paying this.
Yeah.
And you slapped on a fee at the end that I had no 18% that I had no idea I was going to pay.
I would rather know have higher prices in the food.
Me too.
Know what I'm paying for. Know which one I'm picking out instead of getting this sustainability fee added on later.
Because
because that was, even though it wasn't 18%, it was only 6. Just to feel like I went to a restaurant and they were trying to slip something into the bill that I wasn't aware of.
Because
now,
most
I'm not sure I want to go back to that restaurant. And
most
really
people probably
restaurant.
Won't look at that. Don't even look at the bill. They just sign it. They put the tip down and go. Kind of like how you get away with, like, all of a sudden, like, I look at my cable bill or whatever.
Yeah, whatever
streaming,
it is.
Whatever it is. You're like, wait a minute. They've added on something. Because people don't
look.
People don't look at it. They just pay.
Let us know. 248-539-9797. 97.1.
Hey, you wait for summer all year long. It's that feeling of freedom, trading work for sunshine and getting back to what you love. Summer is all about making memories. At Verizon, we're celebrating you. You deserve to kick off summer feeling refreshed, connected, and ready for anything. This year, summer starts early with incredible value only at Verizon. Amplify your summer with amazing deals on the latest phones, smartwatches, and accessories that keep you connected wherever you go. Verizon has you covered with the network America relies on. And to make that summer feeling even sweeter, just for walking in, you'll receive free summer essentials. That's right. Simply visit any Verizon location across the country and pick up your complimentary summer goodie. It's our way of saying thanks. But don't wait. These in-store freebies are only available through June 30th or while supplies last. So before you hit the beach or fire up that grill, make your first stop your nearest Detroit Verizon store today. Discover amazing deals, get connected on a network you can trust, and grab your free summer essential. That's Verizon.
Fun game yesterday for the Tigers. Took another series. They begin one tonight with the Twins, which will culminate on Sunday Night Baseball.
Excited. Scoop will start.
Fun weekend coming up at Comerica Park. We're going to talk about the Tigers in the 9 o'clock hour. There was a report yesterday. We loved it. I've seen people who hate it. Why? Why? We'll get to that. We've brought up this idea of sustainability fees and living wage fees and surprise fees at restaurants when you're getting set to pay and check out, and what it does to the tipping culture. 248-539-9797. We have, what do we got, Tim? Yep. Tim, let's get to you first. You're on 97.1.
Hey, real quick, who decided that tips are based on the amount of the bill? And what I mean by that is, why does someone that works, let's say, at a Big Boy, and waits on two people and serves them dinner and cleans up after them, serves them water, et cetera, get paid less in a tip than somebody who works at a Ruth Chris serving two steaks, cleans up, water, et cetera? Where did this tipping ever come from based on the amount of the bill?
So what the nicer restaurants will tell you is we employ people who can make recommendations and they enhance your experience. But I agree with you. At some point, there is a cap on what that task is worth, right? And it's not based on whether my entree cost an extra $10 or not.
So, Tim, what's the better way? Is it based on time? If you're there for a half an hour, it should be $5. If you're there for an hour, it should be $10, regardless of the bill?
I think it should be like Europe. Just it's built in and there's no tipping. You want to tip above and beyond, that's great. But it should be built into the cost of the food or the
proprietary. Oh, I'll hear you on that. I think there's logic to that where you just go, hey, look, it's up to you as a business to decide to pay your people enough to keep them employed and to keep
because
them.
Because that person.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That person, that Big Boy, can be working just as hard as the person at Ruth Chris, if not harder. They may be checking people out and seating people, et cetera. So
I'll tell you, the people who like the tips system are the servers.
Well, yeah, but it's also if you're at the Big Boy or if you're at whatever restaurant you're talking about versus a Ruth's Chris or a high-end restaurant, the turnover is a lot quicker at some of those restaurants than it is at a Ruth's Chris. You're going to be spending more time there. They're going to have less tables, less turnover. They're spread out more, not as many seats. But, and so that's part of it as well.
But when you talk about the idea of removing the tips and having more of like a of the world mentality, the first people to push back on that are these servers.
Well, because I think there's a lack of belief that the employer is going to make up the difference, that they're going to pay minimum wage more.
They could go, well, you could tell me I'm making $15 an hour or $18 an hour to serve, but I'm making more in tips even than that in some cases, depending on the turnover, the restaurant. So I think that would be some of the pushback would be from the people doing the jobs themselves. I think from a customer standpoint, take that off me. Make this an agreement between you and your employer.
Yeah.
You decide if you're getting paid enough, and if you're not, you'll leave. And if they can't keep you, they got to pay more.
Yeah, but unlike Tim said, if they get rid of tips, then it's up to you to decide if you want to add more. No, it's either all or nothing. And so that the server isn't expecting
– or relying.
Or relying on you to tip if – now all of a sudden we've changed the system and there's no it's a no tip system.
Joe in Canton, you're on 97.1.
What they're doing now is a lot of these restaurants are including the total bill. They're not supposed to put the tax into their tipping system, and that's a problem because the waitress, let's say the bill's $30, the actual bill is $27 or something. You know, that's what they should be getting tipped. Not on the 30, see? And the businesses
are getting
smart.
Because you're saying some receipts come out with it already spelled out what 15, what 20 and 25% are, and they're basing it off of.
So whenever I look at a bill and I leave a tip, if I look at the total amount, which would include tax as well, and I'm not going to sit there and subtract the tax and then try and get 10%, 15%, 20%.
Yeah, but you know they're making extra money and not giving it to the waitresses or the waiters. See, that's what they're doing.
Well, the waitress is going to get or waiter's going to get the tip that you decide to give, and you can decide whether you want to do it on the pre-tax or the post-tax. But they're going to get 100% of the tip that you choose to give based on that.
Right, and so Joe, your gripe is you don't want to give that extra 30 cents to the business. You want to make sure that the entirety of it goes to the server.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes people, they say we're not given the right tip, but we actually are given the right tip, you know, and a waitress or waiter doesn't know that, you know.
Right.
Sure. Bob, appreciate the phone call.
Yeah. The easiest way around that issue is to just leave a cash tip. Mm-hmm. Now, I know not a lot of people, Heather, and I know you don't always carry cash.
I don't really either.
And it's hard to have the, you know, exact right amount,
right?
But it's one of that is one way to make sure that it's, I mean, it's cash is always king.
Going back to you bringing this up initially, the thing that just bothers me the most is the shadiness of, if I don't know this is going to be added on
and then you see it
and now I go, well, is this a tip, like a sustainability charge, a cost of living? Is that the same as a tip, or is that you will make the decision as a business? So now I lose as a customer because I don't get to tip the amount I want, and that server's not winning either because they have to now get at the discretion of the business.
Right.
The only one that wins is the business.
Yeah, and is that sustainability fee, is it actually going to go to, hey, we're going to try and source locally, or what percentage it goes to sustaining their employees?
Nice. Right. 248-539-9797. Bob in Plymouth, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I go out to restaurants all the time, like every day almost, and I always leave a cash tip. And I know the waiters and waitresses appreciate that. And the other thing I want to say is about the a restaurant I was in the other day, they had a sign that said five persons or more, there's a 20% service fee on top of
service fee. Not a tip, but just like
a five or more, which isn't really a big crowd. I thought that was kind of strange.
some of this is like, what's the vocabulary?
Whole family, John.
Yeah, that's a night out for John. That's a great point. But some of this is like vocab, right? Like, what does that mean? A service fee. Is that for the server or the service of me
owning the business?
Right, yeah. I think that's what's annoying. If it's, hey, you put $20 down, that's the tip. Or 20% down, that's the tip. Okay, fine. I get it. That's kind of a standard thing. But it's, what is this really for? You don't want to put your customers at a position where they don't even know what they're giving you money for.
Yeah, and I mean, it's going to come out of your pocket either way, whether it's built into the cost of the food or it's in the form of a tip. And that's where I was when I saw the service, the sustainable service fee or sustainability fee. This is a restaurant that we've been at before, and I'd never seen that, and it felt like they were trying to sneak it in, and it was low enough that it wasn't going to, you know, you might not recognize it on your bill, 6%.
Or they're counting on, like, what Lisa said to you, which is, just don't make a stink.
Right.
Just pay it.
Just don't say anything. Can we just go? Can there not be a conflict?
Don't make this a scene at the restaurant, John.
Yes, I like this place.
Let's get to Larry in Grosse Pointe. Larry, good morning. You're on 97.1.
How you doing, guys?
Good morning.
Morning. So anyways, you know, Noah said what TIP actually is for. The acronym is to ensure promptness. So it's the type of service that you're, you know, should be paying for, not just because it's 20%. You have some stiff that takes forever to get you your food, and you're still expected to pay these guys another 15 or 20%. Now, I'm somewhat older than you guys, and when I was growing up, it was a 10% tip was like a maximum. That was like a big tip. Now 20%
is kind of
like,
standard.
That's the norm. I don't know where that all of a sudden developed. The real one that kills me is that little Apple device where you go into a place getting a carryout, you use your card, and then they flip the thing around for you to sign, that little screen that you sign with your finger. And it's got choices.
I know.
10, 15, 20%. I'm getting a carryout for crying out loud. Why should I tip?
I'm with you on I'm not going to tip on carryout.
No.
And you know what's tough, too, is if you don't want to tip, you have to hit other and then manually put in the zero.
They make it hard to find.
And then the other and then you feel like, well, they're watching me. They know
and
I'm hitting zero.
The person behind the cash register is looking at you like, you cheap bastard. You know, what the hell? I handed you your food.
Right. I thought there were.
But another reason why the servers like tips versus you know, just shoving it into the cost of the food, a lot of that goes unreported to Uncle Sam if it's cash tips. So they like to, you know, as, you know, anybody in business likes to grab cash. You know, and unfortunately for them, most people use credit cards now, so it's traceable. But, you know, if you get good service, you have to pay. I mean, my wife and I used to favor an Italian restaurant downtown. great, great place. And there was one server that was excellent. So we would ask for him all the time. You know, we want so-and-so to wait on it because we're regular.
No, good servers are deserving. And there's no doubt about it, Larry. And we appreciate the phone call and the passion on this. We got to keep it moving. We got to get the 9 o'clock hour.
Yep.
We've got Cookie Jar. We got to talk about the Pistons adding a Lanier. That's gone well for them historically.
It has.
The pick they made last night. And this Tiger move that feels like a no-brainer but has big pushback from the fan base. We'll get to it next, 97.1.